The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
That's why they call me Cam Newton.
I'm back. He was rather pleased with himself, wasn't he? That he's back in Carolina.
Yeah, like I think he was going to win the MVP. Well, which is extremely wide open, mind you. But hello, everyone. Welcome.
There's a few teams and a few players that have sort of come crashing back down to earth in the last couple of weeks.
So we're week 10 of the NFL. I'll just go through the scores.
We'll punch through the scores. The Friday morning game for us was Baltimore, just an unmitigated disaster losing 22-10 to the Dolphins. That's brutal.
Oh, there's a few brutal games. I mean, we smashed onto the Monday ones. Well, this wasn't brutal for the fact of, like,
This was brutal.
Well, as a comeback from my team, the Cowboys demoralizing the Falcons 43-3.
Embarrassing.
Your team, the Saints, going down to the best record Titans, which I didn't think I would be saying, but they did win 23-21, especially without Henry. I can't believe I'm saying that, but...
No, we didn't have Alvin Kamara either, but there was a few things that didn't go the Saints' way in that game, but we'll get to that.
The Colts beat the Jags 23-17. The Pats, I guess laying their claim to one of the contenders in the AFC at least, 45-7 over the Browns.
Four on the trot now for New England.
Yeah. I think they're building something there. The Bills beat the Jets 45-17. Oh my God, the Lions and the Steelers played to a draw, 16-16 in overtime. Washington football team beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 29-19. Jesus. Panthers beat Cards 34-10. Another sort of, depending on how you look at it, technically it's an upset, even though they had players out the Cards.
That's still an upset. The way that Carolina have been playing as of late.
Yeah. The Vikings beat the Chargers 27-20. The Chargers are on a massive skid at the moment.
Two teams I can't make heads or tails of so far this year. Like, I think Minnesota are better than what their record shows. And the Chargers, they're not really riding that momentum wave that they had with Justin Herbert last year. They've looked a little, they've looked unimpressive.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. The Eagles beat the Broncos 30-13. The Packers beat the Seahawks 17-blank. Oof. The Chiefs in a comeback, I guess, game, if you want to look at it. I mean, there's really no other way of looking at that, but 41-14 over the Las Vegas Raiders.
Are they back now?
Oh, God damn, I hope so, because that's part of my multi. They better be back. I can't believe we're talking about multis already.
Just a quiet 6-4.
Yeah, I think that. Well, I mean, the AFC is absolutely wide open. But then the Tuesday game, the NFC, you could sort of say, will be a little bit wide open, but the 49ers... Oh my! Like, again, it's a tipper's nightmare, isn't it? 31-10
last week. Oh my god! So bad last week.
You can't pick anything. But we'll go back up the top with the Dolphins somehow beating the Ravens. This is a team that, I guess, Tua's just come back in this game. It was pretty, he's fairly accurate and did what he needed to do, because he was accurate. I mean, Jacoby played this game too, which was sort of interesting. But, they did air the ball out, which I was kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've got to really try and do. I think we've been fairly critical, I think, this year of the Dolphins in many aspects, more so than ever with their rush. Their run game is just, it's awful. They just cannot get anything going on the ground at all.
I liked Gaskin too. I thought he might be okay this year, and he's regressed massively. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. But I mean, it felt like this was pretty lackluster, I guess, up until the fourth quarter when it kicked up a notch for both teams. Really, at the end of the day, it was. You know, even that you're talking about run game, even the run game technically of the Ravens, and meaning Lamar being under 40 yards, which is pretty rare. Like them being under 100 yards in a losing.
Yeah, that's
effort.
Right. As a total rushing offense, especially the way that Lamar's been playing this year. You know, he's there or thereabouts, I guess, in the MVP conversation. But yeah, just unable really to sort of get anything going. Like it's been a little bit funny too, I think, this year with those Thursday games, you know, the Friday morning games for us. If this had been on Sunday, this totally would have been roles reversed, in my honest opinion.
Really?
I do not know how Miami how they did this, especially with what you said, an explosion. An explosion in the fourth quarter. They just blew the doors of Baltimore, which you just couldn't see this Miami team doing it the way that they're playing at the moment.
All they did was really get a rushing TD right, you know, on the red zone for Tua. But other than that, it was all the boot. I mean, in saying that, you can't just say the boot when they did air the ball out to get down there to have Jason Sanders set up, but. Yeah, I don't know. It's possible. Like you said, probably if it was a Monday game, that for us, it would have been possibly a different story. You think
it's generally like they all come about with preparation. There's only 4 days, you know. It's really hard. True. But this is one of those games for Baltimore that, you know, they're 6-3. It just pegs them down into, I guess, sort of maybe a second tier AFC team, or just one of those teams that. Not so much that can't be relied upon, because realistically they should have lost to the Lions. And the scary thing is too is Gesicki, who's Brissett and Tua's, you know, go to guy. 7 targets, no receptions.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that AFC North. I mean, I AFC East is pretty, I guess, for lack of a better word, possibly sign up. But that AFC North. Literally could go, like, that first to four could go any which way. That's how close.
Oh, absolutely.
It is.
They've all got over 500 records. They're consistently inconsistent.
Exactly. That's exactly. You literally, Cleveland's fourth at 5-5, but still technically could win this division.
Oh, no,
that's what I mean.
Can.
They've
shown glimpses of brilliance, and just, you know, especially this week, they showed a lot of frailties.
Yeah, they did. No frailties in my Cowboys 7-2. They you know, this was just what they needed, a comeback win. Dak aired the ball out. CD was just, you know, that kid's fairly unbelievable. I still can't fathom how he fell to us, to be completely honest. I really can't. We'd have to do anything to. We'd have to move up to get him in that first round.
The same thing. The same thing can be said this year with Belichick, the Patriots, and Mac Jones.
Yeah, I would definitely concur that.
He just sat there. He didn't have to do anything. The Dallas Cowboys just sat there and waited. And CeeDee Lamb. Fell right in their lap. Mac Jones fell right into the Patriots' lap, and he's looking better and better as the weeks go by. But this game, I mean, just embarrassing, really, for Atlanta. And how the hell did they look semi competent last week against New Orleans and lay this gigantic duck? I don't care about the 3 points. That's rubbish. That is a total duck egg, blown out, totally blown out in the second quarter. It was embarrassing. That was really hard. That was really hard to watch, especially, you know, me as a Saints fan watching you know, how Atlanta actually looked competent
last
week against a really good New Orleans defense. And it's unbelievable.
I put it out there again. I mean, he was okay in this game, Kyle Pitts, for 60, but I put it again. Did they whiff in taking a tight end at pick four? I'm not saying like Kyle Pitts, because Kyle Pitts is, it looked like it's going to be their linchpin. But what I'm saying is, should they have taken a quarterback? Should they have taken one?
I mean, it's a possibility. I'm very much a, you know, my opinion on Sam Darnold. I'm still very much a Josh Rosen sympathist as well. I think he was totally wrecked and done wrong by the Arizona Cardinals the year he was drafted. He went out there and he just got blasted that whole year.
And then they went,
you know what? Screw this. We've got the number one pick. We're taking Kyler Murray and we're going to kick Josh Rosen to the curb. And he hasn't been able to bounce back since. Now, he's the backup there for Matt Ryan. I think he can learn a lot of things from Matt Ryan, but the offensive line for Atlanta is not great. Now, at the moment, they don't have Calvin Ridley. Obviously, they shipped off Julio Jones as well. So they don't really have that big-name receiver there in Atlanta besides Kyle Pitts. And Kyle Pitts, and we get it. He's a rookie, and he's looked great in flashes, but he'll be inconsistent as well.
Yeah, look.
Matt Ryan, he was disgraceful in this game. Disgraceful.
Absolutely. I think, well, they got another year with him, and then I'll just sort of see what happens there. I think he'll retire after that, after next year. I think he's got no sort of choice.
Atlanta needs to really help him out if they want to prolong his career a little bit, which I still think he's got, because when he's good, he's good. He's gonna be like Big Ben. It's gonna be like all the older quarterbacks that you see running around at the moment. You have to don't worry about getting them top receivers. Get them protection. Give them time up front. Keep them clean in the pocket, and they're accurate enough. They've got a good head on their shoulders. That they'll be able to find receivers.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan hasn't really shown that he's not a poor quarterback through poor quarterback play. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he's literally got nobody to throw to. Yeah, Wayne Gorman back.
You know, he's not getting any protection up front. So
it disrupts him a lot, because it's the same sort of thing. He's not the biggest sort of scrambler out of the pocket. Like, well, he likes to be a bit of a statue. Stand, even though he can scramble, but not as well as what he has been in the last few years. Like, age is definitely telling, not as much as what Big Ben is, but if they want to keep Matt Ryan, which I still think he still has a little bit left in him, then you got to get him some help up front. And I think this next draft will definitely help, because there's a lot of O linemen. And there's a lot of defensive backs as well that are coming up in this next draft. Not a lot of, you know, so-called skill position players that are blowing the charts up. So it's a lot of down and dirty type players that are going to be high draft picks,
especially in that top, which is what they need.
They just need a little bit of help up front. Maybe they can go out in free agency.
He was terrorized by, you know, clearly the defensive rookie of the year, Micah Parsons, in this game too. He just picked him out. Him and Duran's Armstrong, but Micah just, the boy is massive, and the boy can just move so quick off the line. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Trevon Diggs gets himself another interception again. Like, he's on pace. I think he's on pace to actually break the single season record for interceptions by one player. This can't keep up, right? He can't keep this up.
Well, you wouldn't think so. I just, like, that Micah Parsons is 6'3", 245, and the ground he covers is absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, it's unreal.
It is. It's absolutely unreal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, can he keep it up? What has he got? He's got eight at the moment.
I think he's got eight.
Yeah.
I think the single season record's like 14.
Yeah. And obviously, like we all forget, we don't think about that's a 17-week game, so it's
definitely no, that's right. Cheatable, so yeah, so. There's the possibility of inflated. Well, there is. There'll be inflated stats, and obviously, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, your offensive statistics. So, but that's definitely going to be one that's to be watched out for as well, I think.
I didn't think just on the next game that I'd be saying to you in week 10 that your QB1 is Trevor Siemian, your RB1 is Mark Ingram, and your WR1 is Deontay Harris.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, like I said, I think New Orleans has got one of the worst receiving corps in the league.
And
somehow
after this game, I think it's kind of true, isn't it? I don't know. Like,
yeah, no, it is. And even if they look, you know, you don't want to harp on the past. Even if they did have the likes of Drew Brees still there, it's still going to be that would be a full on dink and dunk offense. At least Siemian can sort of air the ball out a little bit. We've seen what Jameis Winston did before he got hurt. Look, this game, if yeah, you look at it simply, it come down to Brian Johnson missing two extra points, and a lot of things sort of led to that. He's been fairly good with field goal tries. He hasn't missed a field goal. I think he's 7 for 7, but he's now missed, I think it's 3 or 4 point afters.
Yeah.
And they're just as important and it no more evident than in this game. But look, the thing that sort of infuriated me a little bit there, a BS roughing the passer call on the Saints, Ellis, one of the defensive ends, Ellis had got to Tannehill, just bumps him. PJ Williams intercepts the ball in the end zone. Everything's all good. They come back. They call a roughing the passer call. You watch the replay. It's the biggest load of garbage I've ever seen. They said that he hit him in the head. Sean Payton was furious at the post-game press conference with that call. He didn't want to answer any questions about it. He was pissed. It was a bullcrap call. Hit him in the head. He didn't hit him in the head. There was no clash of helmets. All he did was bump him and he fell down. It was bullcrap.
That's fair.
To start the second half, you know, like you said, Deontay Harris, he's a man of many talents. So he returns the kickoff. He fumbles it. Tennessee regains, and they pretty much score off that straight up. So that kind of doesn't really go the Saints' way.
I think the Brian Johnson thing was sort of evident, and I noticed when I was flicking through news, they've cut him and re-signed Brett Maher.
Brett Maher. He was there at the start of the season. He was going to be their number one kicker after Will Lutz.
Will Lutz, yeah.
Was going to be on the IR for the start of the season. Now it looks like Will Lutz is done for the year. So he won't be coming back as you know, I think we mentioned it last week, as well as Michael Thomas is done for the year as well. So they brought Brett Maher back. He's on the practice squad. I'm not sure if they've full on cut Johnson just yet.
No, they have. They've full on cut him and they've completely re-signed and activated Brett Maher. So it's cutthroat. Kickers are cutthroat. It is.
Ruthless.
Well, you know, he missed 3 straight point after attempts in the last 2 games. So, you know, that's
what I mean. This cost them because the Saints score, you know, late in the second half, and because he's missed those 2 extra points, that should have been a straight up would have been 23 apiece. But because he's missed those 2 extra points, they had no choice but to go for the 2. Troutman, the tight end, I think second year tight end for the Saints, who I really hope would sort of stand up this year in the absence of Jared Cook, has not been very good. He flinched, so they got a false start penalty. So instead of it being from the 2-yard line, they take it back. I think it was to the 12-yard line. It was a 10-yard penalty. So then now you've got to take it a 2-point try from the 12-yard line, and it was never going to happen. So that ended the game, and that look, Marcus Johnson for for Tennessee was brewing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I clearly
who would have and like you said, who would have thought that?
Well, clearly, by the looks of that game, or the bits I could see, AJ Brown was completely just tied up during the whole game.
But that's the thing. That's the Saints secondary, and it's a Patriots type way of doing things. We'll shut down who you want to go to, and Marshawn Lattimore, more often than not, will have your number, and he shut down. He shut down AJ Brown big time. We've seen in the past what the battles that Marshawn Lattimore has had, you know, DK Metcalf a couple of years ago against Seattle, a couple of weeks ago against Seattle. The number that he's got on Mike Evans is unbelievable. The statistics with those two up against each other, Marshawn Lattimore has got Mike Evans' number.
His name's lost me, and you'll probably say it straight away, the cornerback for Rams. He's similar to him. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he's similar to Jalen, as in he doesn't mind saying, I'll take the best wide receiver because I know I'll be able to cover him. And he does.
He loves that sort of challenge,
and that's right. And that's why... To be completely honest, that's why I think they're still in game is purely on their defense. That's why they're five and four.
Yeah, absolutely.
Clearly, I think.
Yeah, I think they're a top five, top six defense in the league at the moment. They bottle up the run, so yeah, this would have been an interesting game if Derrick Henry had have been in the lineup to see how well or not well they would have contained him in the run game. But they bottle up the run. And it starts from there. Then you start to become a predictable offense.
The Colts beating the Jags. I mean, this was just probably another Jonathan Taylor masterclass, wasn't it?
They generally are.
Generally is, isn't it? It's funny watching how people just forgot, or maybe they thought second year syndrome, or I don't know, but people just not forgot about him, but just left him for sort of, I guess, for more elite running backs in terms of fantasy I'm talking about. But he is clearly the number one running back.
If he fell to you, in a league where running backs are a premium, You're pretty happy.
Yeah, you're very happy. And when you've got, I mean, I guess not against Carson Wentz, but I guess I am against Carson Wentz. You know, he's it's probably more is it more Frank Wright that's where they are at the moment at 5-5. They're head coach and knowing how to use Carson Wentz when he needs to.
Carson Wentz just needs to play with not so much play within himself, but he needs to know what. And he knows what he does well, but sometimes you just see some of the things that he does when he tries to scramble out of the pocket and he's trying shovel passes and left-hand passes, and they turn into disasters. And he just needs to sort of cull those out. Like, that's the thing. This, you know, by no means was an offensive masterclass by any team.
No, this was not.
This was a beat-em-down, grind-em-out type game. Look, this and like to be fair, Jacksonville only losing this by six, and they were in it with 50 seconds to go. They were in it, and
yeah, then
Lawrence has that fumble, you know, inside the last minute. They're on the march, you know. Obviously, they've got to score a touchdown, but yeah, just a crucial Trevor Lawrence fumble, you know, inside 50 seconds of that game, and that's it. It's game over.
I agree, but I also agree that Jacksonville
had 36 passing yards in the first half. 36. Look, they had 100 plus rush yards, so they're trying to get it done on the ground, but they've been sort of screaming at Jacksonville to try and help Trevor Lawrence out by trying to get your run game going. And even then, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence is in this game. He's under 50% completion.
Yeah, exactly. I think it goes back to what you said at the start of this pod with Josh Rosen. Like, I think, you know, being the number one pick, it was probably inevitable that he was going to start for the Jaguars. But I don't mind if well, I really don't mind.
Minshew out of town.
Well, exactly. When you know he would probably light it up. They'd probably be 7-2 if Minshew Mania was there.
You love him.
They do love him. Oh, he'd sell jerseys just alone. But you know, I don't mind the option of resting a quarterback, even if it has to be the year or towards the end of the year, if you can. In this situation, it was going to be it was inevitable. You weren't going to start.
I mean,
Minshew,
not so
were.
Much that you couldn't.
Well, were you? I don't know.
I get it. There's a lot of fanfare around what Trevor Lawrence, you know, produced at Clemson, you know, in college, and it just sort of there's once again it's the flashes of brilliance, like you see it, but
you
when you're
it.
On, but usually when it. You but when you're the number one pick, guess what? You're going to the worst team in the league.
Oh, this is the thing. This
and
is
it's
the thing.
very rare that you know a number one pick will come in and completely change a franchise's fortunes. That this is a building opportunity for Jacksonville. Hopefully Urban Meyer won't just be a flash in the pan and sort of have the 1 year or 2 years in, you know, the professional ranks and then scuttle off away back to college or, you know, or just retire.
Or go to a bar that he owns and then, you know,
no,
do what
well,
you do.
Well, you can do that too and have certain people hanging around you and that provides some entertainment for you. So
it's his bar. He can touch who he wants. No.
Well, yeah.
I'm joking.
I think the
perplexing thing
was
all
other,
that.
I think the other person was the one doing the touching.
The didn't really get talked about a lot is that he didn't fly back with the players that night. So usually the head coach flies back with the players, but he stayed. Look, he's from there. That's where he's got his restaurant and everything.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, if you're going to have time off, and they didn't, well, and apparently they didn't know he was staying. So there was a whole weird thing there. But anyway, I mean, yeah, it's all like, it doesn't matter now. Like, it's two and send before moving on just with the Colts. They're clearly obviously not going to win this division. Tennessee is all but wrapped this up, but are they a sneaky wild card? I don't know.
I mean, they're thereabouts. Look, they fought their way to 5-5. So, this is one of the worst divisions in the NFL at the moment. So once they start getting those divisional games under their belt, you know, this was a divisional game, so they should have one. I'm pretty sure they'll have one more against Jacksonville. I'm not sure if they play Houston already this year. So, you know, obviously that they'll have Houston as well. So, and not to say that they'll be super easy beats, especially the way that the Colts are. You know, the Colts aren't really blowing teams out of the water. They look good in games, but at this stage, I think all Indianapolis just needs to do is to just continue to win. And they've just got to see where, I guess, they sit in the division and in the conference once just we start getting to the pointy end of the season.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that win that they had, was it against Baltimore?
Yeah.
That was sort of a not so much a season defining win, but that's one of their better wins.
Yeah, good point.
Of the season, and you know, but we're just not sure that, you know, going off this week, what are Baltimore?
I don't know. I don't know what Baltimore are.
They rely so heavily on Lamar Jackson that if he's not otherworldly, then they're an average football team.
But what I thought is, you know, we were talking only a few weeks ago about how great Mark Andrews was, and he hasn't really, we haven't really talked about him in the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's like he's sort of gone away from Mark Andrews a bit. You're right, Lamar has to be otherworldly, but he wasn't otherworldly when Mark Andrews was lighting it up for him. You know, because he was just getting into Mark Andrews because Mark Andrews is wide open.
Maybe there's something there. Was it last week or the week before? How does he continue to get so open? He's top three.
It's just in general, you know.
It's unreal. He's top three, top four tight end in the league. Yet he continues to be open, you know, 10 to 12 yards down the field.
Darren Waller's the same. Darren Waller seems to get open a lot. I mean, why do tight ends just get open all the time? I don't get it.
It just, it's, yeah, that's, well, why would you not cover him? Be like George Kittle, it'd be like Travis Kelce.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, Zach Ertz a few years ago.
That's what's happened with Travis Kelce up until this week. He's been completely covered up until this week. New England, like Mac Jones, we mentioned him before. Like he was so accurate in this game. He didn't throw an interception. He's them for the next 10, 15 years, isn't he? He kind of is.
I mean, if he can project that far, like if his trajectory is soaring at the moment. Like I said, yeah, they've won four on the trot. And yeah, they absolutely layeth the smackdown on Cleveland. Like that, that's all that really was. That was just, they just slapped them in the face constantly at every turn. Defensively, yeah, Judon is having an unbelievable season. Looks like one of the best signings of these, especially one of the best signings that New England has had this year. And they made plenty of them.
Oh, they made plenty
of them. He looks like he's one of the best signings of the year.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Even like they got Mac Jones, but they also, in a late fourth round, picked up a nice little running back in Ramondre Stevenson, and he's been good. He might be their running back for the next 5 or 10 years. You know, I mean, running backs are running backs, so. You don't know with running backs. But
no, right. See, yeah, both teams didn't have their lead back in this either. Like Damian Harris was out. I think he had a concussion. Nick Chubb wasn't in this game as well. But we seen a couple of weeks ago what Cleveland can do with D'Ernest Johnson.
Yeah.
And but here's the thing now. Baker Mayfield's dealing with a leg issue. You know, so Case Keenum has had to come in and dink and dunk his way, you know, to 8 of 12 and still, you know, and still on 8 completions have more receiving, you know, have more yards thrown than what Mayfield did.
I say it before, I say it again. They will not sign Baker Mayfield. They'll probably pick up his fifth year or I don't know. The fifth year is always weird.
Is this the fifth year or is this what he's playing? He's playing for the extension. They'll pick up the fifth year, and then who knows what.
Correct. But then, that's exactly right. So fifth year is like 15, 16, up to 18 million, I think. But then it becomes the question of then each and every week is, are we going to sign this guy? Are we going to sign this guy?
Well, this was meant to be that breakout, you know, contract year. Do you know what I mean? Like this is the year that he had to be not so much spectacular, but he just needed to show solid play. And while like we said before, he's that rah-rah rally behind me type player, but sometimes there's disaster plays in him, or yeah, it's a lot of it, and I think it's been his Achilles heel most of his career. Hangs onto the ball too long.
Yeah, I think so. And that was the whole point of you know, the way Stefanski used him with the running backs, so he didn't have to hold on the ball too long.
No, that's right, and that's what you do. You got a two-headed monster.
You don't have him,
and that's how you do it.
You know, if you don't have him, what do you do exactly? So, yeah, look, New England will definitely, they're not going to obviously be the well, I don't know. They still could sneakily win this division, but even if they don't, they'll definitely get a wild card position. Theoretically could, technically, you know, if Buffalo go down 6-4, then they'll pass them because they'll be equal at 6-4 as well. So they have a better win-loss, for and against. So, yeah, it's possible, depending on what Buffalo do.
That's what I mean. This game, you know, with the 38-point differential in this game,
yeah,
like that really helped. That really helps for and against New England. And, look, yeah, I guess it's sort of turned the AFC East into a two-horse race, which we just naturally assumed at the start of the year was going to be Buffalo and the rest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has. And then you've got some sneaking back. I mean, we'll talk about Buffalo. They were the next game. They're the same. They had to have this kind of game, this kind of win over the Jets. Like, you know, just an absolute smash fest on the, you know, on the Jets because it's the divisional team. And then and that's like, you know, it's exactly what they did. Big game for Diggs, big game for Davis. Don't really use the rushing as much, but it was more of a probably a big game for Josh Allen, 366 yards.
On 21 completions, like that's that's amazing, phenomenal. Hey? But, you know, surprise, surprise. Phenomenal. Well, that's right. And surprise, surprise, the Buffalo Bills beat up on another bad team.
Yeah.
Highlighted it last week.
Yeah, good point.
But that's what you've got to do. You've got to beat up on the bad teams. But we all thought that they were going to be this sort of good against better teams.
Yeah.
Not against the Jets. Yeah, not against the Dolphins. Like we thought that this was the team that they were going to be, and they were just going to be so dynamic on offense. Their defense is super solid, and this is what we thought the Buffalo Bills were going to be, and I don't think they've quite lived up to expectations, and now they've got the Patriots nipping at their heels.
Yeah, I think so. They really do. It depends. I think their run home is pretty easy. I don't have it in front of me, but I feel like their run home is fairly easy. Now I have it in front of me. Colts, Saints. Oh, then they've got the Pats. So that'll be the game, and that's a televised ESPN game.
They're the teams. Just in those next 3 weeks, they're the teams that they need to, you know, show.
Smash.
Yeah. Well, they don't need to smash, but they need to show that they can. Yeah, that they can put those teams away and not struggle. You know, the week before, you know, only scoring 6 points against Jacksonville. They need to assert some dominance against those type of teams because the Colts defense is really good, the Saints defense is really good, and it looks like the New England defense is really good. So these next 3 weeks are going to be a real test for the Buffalo Bills, and I think I'm going to call it. I think the Mike White train has been derailed.
Oh, 100%. Was that even? I didn't realize that was still a thing anymore after last week.
Brutal interceptions, and they were just like, oh my god! And then Flacco's had to come in, and now it looks like Flacco's going to start next week for the Jets because Zach Wilson's not ready to go. It's just the Jets. They continue to give storylines.
Oh, you think they continue to give storylines? What about the next two teams, or one in particular, the Detroit Lions?
Oh my lord!
Jesus Christ! When I watched that, you know, they had a chance to win, and their kicker set up. Before he even kicked it, who was their kicker?
What's his Ryan name?
Santoso.
Santoso.
He didn't even look like he was going to.
I don't know if he kicked the ground or if he kicked the belly of the ball. I know it was raining there. It rained there for most of the game. It was fairly torrential towards the end of that. So it was not going to be. This wasn't going to be a very pretty game to start with when your starting quarterbacks, Jared Goff, who's looked, shall we say, less than good. Throughout this year, and you're having Mason Rudolph throw 50 frickin' passes. 50 passes!
That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah.
For Mason
Rudolph. Only 30 or something.
Mason Rudolph, like, good God. Like, when you're trotting him out there, and he's completing 30 passes, and he doesn't even get 250 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know. I don't know. DeAndre Swift.
Look, the Lions come in with the right game plan. Let's go out there. Let's try and hit them hard on the ground. Let's try and control the clock. Let's just try and keep the ball, I guess, away from Mason Rudolph, which sounds absolutely ridiculous to say. But this game, you know, really sort of lit up, I guess, in overtime. Like nobody, one of those games where nobody wanted to win, but the other team is making plays to screw over the other team. Like the Deontay Johnson in overtime, where he had that great catch, tries to get some yards after the carry, and then the ball's punched out, fumble, the ball gets turned over. you know, we also, yeah, we talked about the Santoso field goal. Yeah, a 46-yarder in the torrential rain. That's pretty rough. So the ball gets turned over.
Well, it was
pretty
rough, but God damn, it just didn't look good off the boot. Like the second.
Oh, no, you can see. Maybe it wasn't set up properly. Behind the goalpost shot, and it just goes bump, and it just hit the belly of the ball, and it would it have even went 30 yards?
No.
It was crazy.
I don't think. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And then Pittsburgh still has the opportunity. Like they march down the field in the last sort of 4 minutes of this game. Yeah, 4 minutes, 3 minutes of the game, and then Freiermuth has a great catch, tries to get a few more extra yards, just trying to get a sneaky few extra just to make the field goal a little bit easier for Boswell, and then I can't think of who the Lions defensive player just crashes into him using sort of his helmet.
Yeah.
Could you say he's leading with the crown at the crown of the helmet? Maybe, maybe not.
The ball
comes out of Firemuth's hands, and the game's over. And even then, Pittsburgh still has an opportunity because Detroit can't get anything happening on offense. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable game and unbelievably disgusting. But I mean, it was always going to be disgusting, wasn't it? But it was just, yeah. Ugh.
But you know what the funny thing was too? Like, you know, a couple of the rookies had sort of come out at the end of this game as well. No more than your boy Najee Harris. And he basically said it in the press conference afterwards. It's like, oh, how many overtimes do we play? Like he had no idea that it's one overtime. That's it. You can have a draw.
But
see, that's the thing that leads to a little bit of desperation. Do you know what I mean? If there's only one overtime,
yeah,
then you're
exactly.
A little bit more desperate.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
it's not just opened his mouth, you know, on the bench, or do you know what I mean? Like, surely somebody would have said, you know, we need to kick things up a notch here. There's only, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes left in the game, not in overtime.
He's a funny old, I don't know, he's a funny old guy, isn't he? He's not old, he's a young guy, but I guess because, I don't know if Ben's not there, but he seems to, you're starting to hear him talk a bit more. I don't know if he's a bit more of a, or maybe trying to be a bit of a leader. I mean, there's plenty of leaders in that, pretty alphas in that squad, clearly, but maybe just, well, because of how good he is, I guess. I don't know, I mean, you know, that...
That was a shrewd
draft pick. That was a very shrewd draft. I mean, they need a lot more other stuff, but that was a very shrewd.
Yeah, you know, like a quarterback.
Well, exactly. What about the Washington beating the Bucks?
A Tyler Henneke masterclass.
Masterclass. I didn't know which word you were going to use if it was a Tyler Henneke.
Hey, look, man. He had Brady beat in that fourth quarter last year in the wild card game. I don't know what it is. The football team have just got the Bucks number.
Well, possibly. Has he got his number? Oh my god.
He did this game. Look, Brady threw two killer interceptions in the first quarter.
Yeah, but I can't believe we're saying that he's got his number. That's ridiculous. What are we talking here?
And then sort of the funny thing is too is that Tampa has no touchdowns in the first half, which is the first time that's ever happened since Brady got there. And granted, that's only been a season and a half, but that's a pretty good. That's a pretty damn good you know, thing on offense that you can score at least once in a half, every single game that Brady's been there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Yeah, I just don't know. I just couldn't work out what they were doing. I mean, I liked the way Washington were playing. They spread the ball around, which was fantastic.
No, that's right.
I have to rely
and look, statistically...
Time, but I don't know. I was just pleasantly shocked. And I don't know if I was shocked at more at the Bucks losing or Washington winning. I don't know which one I was shocked more at.
Usually it would be more of a shock that Tampa loses.
Probably Tampa loses. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, It seemed like, for lack of it, it seemed like they were trying, and then I don't know, maybe they were just covered a fair bit. I don't know. I don't know what.
Well, they couldn't get Mike Evans. They couldn't get Mike Evans into this game. You know, Godwin returned this week. Had a bit of a, you know, nothing that sort of really blew the hair off your face. You know, his longest reception was, what, 14, 15 yards, but still ended up with 7 catches. The person that I think really sort of epitomized this win was Terry McLaurin. He got hurt. He came back. He made some really crucial catches. Statistically, his numbers don't jump off the page. 6 catches, 59 yards. They don't jump off the page at all. But right towards the end of that game, to keep the ball out of, basically to keep the ball out of Brady's hands, a 10 minute 26 second drive in that final quarter for a touchdown, just to keep Brady off the field. So just perfect clock management by Washington, and no more bigger catch too than I think it might have been that got them into a first and goal situation, where McLaurin just comes across the middle, catches the ball, and instantaneously is blasted by one of Tampa's safeties, and he just gets up, pumping his chest. He was very happy with himself by holding on to that, and that was the thing that got them into first and goal, and that's, I mean, they just milked the clock perfect, kept the Bucks at bay, and it was perfectly done. Yeah, Tampa only had the ball for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I think Washington were smart. They played the clock very smartly in the game. That was probably more of a head coach, a head coach sort of game winning masterclass, more than a Henneke masterclass.
Well, Riverboat Ron, he has his moments, but at the end of the thing, I don't know
say
why
Riverboat
this,
Ron.
Riverboat Ron, sorry, that's just what they call him in a podcast I listen to. Riverboat Ron.
Oh my god. Riverboat Ron. I haven't heard that one, but there you go.
I don't know why I watched so much post game press conferences this week. But I've seen a lot, and Bruce Arians would come out and said that we're a dumb football team at the moment, and that's rough.
Oh, interesting. Considering he was
very, very upset and very much looking, a lot redder than what he normally looks after a game, because he's as red as a lobster on a good day. But yeah, he was extremely red, like redder than Tampa Bay's jersey red.
Well, they're in a little bit of a skid, aren't they?
They're not taking advantage of their situation, and they're not sort of pulling away in the division.
No, that's exactly right. They're not pulling away. That's what I mean. Like, if you really, I thought it was, AFC was wide open, but the NFC is just as wide open as well. God damn, they're both wide open, aren't they? Really?
I mean, they are, but I still think the NFC teams are, I think, a little bit more consistent than what some of these AFC squads are. And look, we've had a few NFC teams come crashing back to earth, and two in the same division, in the Rams and the Cardinals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice little segue there. The next game is the Cardinals beating the Carolina Panthers beating the Cardinals. Sorry, the other way. Sorry, Panthers fans. I don't even know if there is Panthers fans. But look, this was interesting. When I was watching this game, I thought PJ Walker was starting, and he did start. And then I just seen when I started looking at it, it was Cam Newton. And I thought, what the hell is going on? But he was just that red zone menace, wasn't he? Because literally, that's what it sort of seemed like.
I think for the next couple of weeks, while he gets acquainted with the offense there under Matt Rhule, I think he will be a red zone threat. He will be a gadget type player, a la Taysom Hill, for a couple of weeks. I think you can line him up. You probably can't so much line him up in different positions like what Taysom Hill does. Like, Taysom Hill can line up a tight end, wide receiver, running back. Cam probably, but he'll be that gadget type player. that they can bring in those sorts of situations for the next couple of weeks. But I think there's rumors floating around at the moment that he looks like he could possibly get at least the starting nod next week. I still think PJ Walker will feature in that game as well, because I'm not quite ready to believe in Cam just yet after, you know, a 3 or 4 passing, you know, afternoon. Look, his first rush of the game, touchdown.
Yeah.
His first pass attempt of the game, touchdown.
Yeah, that's a massive completely set up, isn't it? That was it really is.
But the thing was, like, he sort of lumbered his way to the end zone on that rush as well. Like that play design didn't quite work out the way that was intended, and he had to sort of scramble out a little bit and go on that diagonal right run out to the far pylon to get in and you know, sort of just remind everybody that he's back. But I'm just gonna hold back judgment and hold back you know, thoughts on what Cam will or will not be you know, back in Carolina, because all I can think of is what happens if he starts to look like he did, if he features prominently in this offense, if he looks like he did last year in New England, which was awful.
I don't see that happening, because for the pure fact he realized it when he was on those only 4 little touches, that he has a monster running back there in Christian McCaffrey, and he used Christian McCaffrey. He threw to Christian McCaffrey, and he can't do what he did at New England and run so many
times.
But the thing
was, like, have a look at what Josh McDaniels is doing with Mac Jones. Like, there was nothing last year. Mac Jones beat out Cam Newton.
No.
It's a different offensive scheme. They're going to have to, now that they've got Cam there, they'll have to tweak the offense a little bit, the Panthers.
Yeah. I honestly think this is purely sentimental, to be completely honest. I mean, if you know, if Sam Darnold's back, you start Sam Darnold. Not that that doesn't sound good coming out of my mouth, but you do, don't you? I guess you do.
The way
that
Darnold's been playing, it would just depend on what Cam looks like. If Cam starts to, you know, recapture the form of a couple of years ago, sort of pre-injury, then yeah, maybe. But if they've got poor offensive line play, then he's going to get smacked just as much as what Sam Darnold did.
Yeah,
I think Darnold's a lot more accurate than what Cam Newton is.
And the other side, moving on.
I love PJ Walker.
I like PJ Walker too.
He was trending for, I think, what was it, for the St. Louis Battlehawks in the XFL. He was trending towards an MVP.
Oh, he was.
Before the pandemic, you know, totally kills XFL 2.0.
He totally was. And that's how they wanted the league. And that's how it started. That's why it started so well, to be completely honest, the league. Because they wanted to have these players that could launch, that maybe weren't picked up, but they could launch into the NFL, like a PJ Walker and that. Oh, he was, totally. He definitely was.
But that was the beauty of the XFL. It was giving these guys opportunities that are not going to be fully fledged NFL players, but are still very skillful players. Give them a chance, rather than just sitting on the bench, rather than just on the practice squad, giving them game time, giving them real reps, and having a so-called minor league for the NFL, a professional minor league, not the bogus, you know, free minor league that they have in college, but giving these guys, and especially guys that come out of college that, you know, might not have made the NFL or didn't make the cut or didn't get drafted, to give those guys real reps, real game time, to see if they can develop.
Yeah,
not
exactly
everybody
right.
is not everybody is terrific straight up out of college.
Of course not. No, it takes you know, they really aren't. I mean, look at, well, I don't know. Look, the next game. I mean, he was terrific in his first year, but something's happening in the Chargers. They were going great. Their coach, first year coach, was on a trend, and you know, I don't know. I don't. If he's hurt, please don't go to the doctor there. please don't go to the doctor.
No, well, especially if you've got some sort of lung issue or
just rib, don't go to doctor
rib cartilage. If you've got rib cartilage issue or something like that, do not go to that doctor because, I'm just trying to think who the
just
backup.
Just don't go to the doctor.
I think
who's their backup?
Yeah.
Is it Chase Daniel? I don't know. You keep talking and I'll start typing.
I mean, yeah, like you said, what's this now? They've lost three out of their last four, the Chargers. Yeah. Is it Chase Daniel?
Yeah, you got it right. Chase Daniel.
I thought so. God. The memory's not as bad as what I thought it was.
Chase Daniel, Jesus Christ.
Look, this game, like, you know, most of the action sort of happened in that second quarter just before halftime. Like I said, that Justin Herbert has looked unimpressive more often than not. Yeah. When he's good, he's good. But this game, you know... They were using Mike Williams really well at the start of the year. Now they've sort of started to go away from him a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with using Keenan Allen, but this is the thing with some of these games where you can't see the full of everything. You only see a lot of sort of the certain plays in that. But are the teams getting to him too quick and he's rushing? I don't know. I mean, statistically looking at this game, you know, he only got sacked twice. And he'd throw one TD, but he had 14 missed attempts. So it isn't overly bad, but it isn't obviously what he started to do last year and what he started to do at the start of this year. God, he was good at the start of this year.
I think what a lot of people would be doing as well would almost be a Chiefs-esque type defense is because, you know, you've got, you know, a bruiser in Keenan Allen, who's a fairly physical receiver. You know, you've got one of the best deep threats around in Mike Williams. So if you start to play, you know, a nice high cover two, and you can negate that, and is Justin Herbert a product of that style where does he not want to take what's on offer? And a lot of times that would be Jared Cook.
Well, but then he's
gone out of the game plan at the moment.
He was also using Austin Eckler pretty well, and that's sort of gone away a little bit too, I thought. So, he only got 11 carries in this game. He was using Austin Eckler beautifully at the start. I don't know. I mean, on the other side, you know, like you said, I think the Vikings are a team that, you know, are better than a 4-5 record. Like, they finally started to, you know... He has two brilliant, all like elite wide receivers in Jefferson and Thielen, and he's starting to use them.
It's really scary that they. Yeah, that's right. That's two legit,
scary.
Legit number ones.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Justin Jefferson's just otherworldly. Adam Thielen. Well,
he's overtaken. You know, Adam Thielen. And the thing is too is just like if you go back 2 years and they had Stephon Diggs.
That's how they got the Stephon Diggs is Justin Jefferson. So that was that pick. So they.
Oh no, that's what I mean. It looks terrific on paper, but you know what I mean? Like if they keep Stephon Diggs, what the hell do they look like there?
Well, they wouldn't have got Justin Jefferson most likely, but I would say more 1A, 1B. I don't know if Thielen, like, because Thielen can still produce. I don't know if he's WR2, but he can still produce.
He makes difficult catches look rather easy.
Yeah, he really does. He really does. I don't know.
And the thing is too, like Kirk Cousins is really sort of riding a nice wave of momentum offensively. Like he looks like he's one of the best situational quarterbacks that's in the league at the moment. Like, you know, if your offense there at Minnesota is not the problem.
No.
Let's just say that. They're not losing games because of Kirk Cousins.
But their defense is really good too. On paper, yes.
But they're not performing. And you know, a few plays here and there have sort of gone astray for them as well. There was a missed field goal, you know, early on in the year, against Arizona, that would have beaten a previously unbeaten Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. True. Yeah,
so,
that's true.
You know, you take that win. They're a 500 team. Yeah, they look a little bit better. You know, maybe they can sort of challenge Green Bay in that division. Possibly not. But yeah, it's definitely not the offense's fault there, that Minnesota are one game under 500.
No, I don't think so. You're right, and they still have a chance technically too. I mean, really, at the end of the day. So, we've still got a few more games to go. Ooh,
they've scored more points than what Green Bay have in that division.
Well, interestingly enough, you're right there. Yeah, so you're right. So offense isn't the problem. You're exactly right. Yeah, yeah. No, it's exactly right. Offense isn't the problem. Is that the defense is lagging just that little bit. Eagles sort of shocking you a little bit, or is it just that they starting to know how to use your boy Devontae Smith a bit now?
Yeah, I was rather pleased at the way that Jalen Hurts, especially in the first half, was 15 of 20, 176 yards in the first half. And yeah, then they just basically reverted back to the run game in the second half to sort of, just to sort of beat down.
Not a bad thing. I mean, it's unusual that they've got Jordan Howard and Boston Scott leading the pack, but if you had your Miles Sanders out there in your fantasy squad, good luck with that one. But
no, that's right.
I just think, we said it last week and this week, and maybe he is just starting to come good now, Devontae Smith, or the other way, Jalen Hurts is finally, actually getting the ball to him, or just finding him, because he seems to be consistently well, Devontae Smith. Or maybe he's just, maybe he's got to a point where he's sort of, he's got over that first few games hump of a rookie, and then maybe he's just more comfortable with Devontae Smith now.
I think that could be the part of it as well. He's a little bit more sort of comfortable in this offense and the role that he's being played. He really is the number one on that team behind Dallas.
Oh, Brown. He is. I don't think there's a question, is there?
There was a question. No, but that's the thing. Like it's a matter of them trying to feature him a little bit more. He's got to be able to do a little bit better in getting sort of separation because he's a speedster. So it's, and the thing is too, he's come into the league with a pretty big reputation. He's the Heisman Trophy winner. I think a lot of teams are sending their best guy at him, and I think that's sort of that's hurt him as well.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Look, They're an interesting team for the fact of they're sitting 4-6. I don't know if they're going to make a wild card position, but they could be set up. I mean,
two games under 500 at the moment. Like
they're probably not. You're right. They're probably not going to be. But
they haven't won at home this year, Philadelphia.
They haven't. They're one of the teams that they get one. Two, three first rounders. I'm just counting it up now. So,
and possibly, stacked.
Well, they are
and high first round picks too.
Well, you've got the Miami one, which looks like it might sit at around 5 and 6. Then you've got got theirs. So I don't know if tanking's in order for them because that'll put them around the 11. And then I think the other one's a bit further down. I think it's in the 20s. But still, that's still huge. I mean, at the end of the day, that's still massive.
That's good collateral to have if you're going to make deals in trying to get superstars to that team.
That's
rather
what I'm
than
asking. Is that what you do, or do you build a little bit of youth? Do you just go, we're going to build around Jalen Hurts, and then let's just protect him, or do you get some super? I don't know. That's what I'm getting.
Well, like
we
said, this draft is littered with O-linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers. They could really shore up their, not that you say that they're not skillful, but, their non-skill position ranks if they want to go in that fashion. So it's interesting. I think the jury, for me, I don't think the jury's out on Jalen Hurts. I still really like him. He could be a much more accurate passer. But the dual threat with his legs, I really like the way that offenses have to plan for him. A Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray. He's not as fast as Kyler Murray, but he's still very, like Russell Wilson was when he first came into the league.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's exactly right. I was just looking. Yeah, you're like the first skill player is not in a mock draft isn't until pick 10 or 11, just to put what you said in perspective of how littered the defense draft is and the offensive line. Like basically nothing but offensive and defensive linemen. So, yeah, you're exactly right. Maybe I'd throw it behind Jalen and maybe get one superstar there. But then pick up a couple of they need a safety too. I think they've ignored that area far too long. Their secondary is pretty terrible, you know. That's how I've always seen them. But I'm just like if Packers are going against anybody, and I mean anybody, do you just hate Packers against the spread because they just cover every spread, like they. They could have put, you know, what I mean, it was 17 zip. Like, it's just, like, Seattle were, I think, 8 or 9 point underdogs in there. And most people took Seattle. But then again,
of course
Packers covered the spread. I don't know. They shocked me. They're 8-2. Aaron Rodgers was pretty good in this game. I mean, Devontae loved having a back compared to what happened last week in that shit show. Loves shit show, but they're probably the team in the NFC, aren't they?
I think so.
Especially
the way that they've been playing as of late.
Seattle, on the other hand, are just like
done. Oh, they're finished. They're done.
They're done, aren't they? Which is terrible to say. I mean,
they're cooked. Unless there's an extreme reversal of form. They're cooked. The best they can do is to get, you know, to squeeze in and get low wild card. There's no way they're winning the division.
Well, they're not in that division. I mean, the second place team in that division is 7-3 Rams. So I don't think they would.
They're not winning that division. That's just like if they can sort of scramble their way, even if at 500, they'd have to go 9-8.
They go for like a top 15 pick next year, possibly. They're 3-6, so it's
I don't think that's going to please Russell Wilson very much because there was all the rumors swirling around at the start of the year that he wanted out, and then they all worked it out. But if they have another poor year, especially if they don't make the playoffs, there's the real possibility that he could be looking elsewhere.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there you go. Like, do Philly get someone like him, like Jalen Hurts and a first rounder for Russell? Not a bad thought.
I mean, that's the way that Seattle have built it to start with as well. Like, they got Russell, they got Wilson as a later round pick. They had him cheap salary wise. They had a bruising defense there. They probably should have had two Super Bowls. They've only got one. All you have to do is run Marshawn Lynch on that final play. Oh. Like that's such a poor play call. What? You just run beast mode at the 1 yard line.
20 minutes on if you looked at that entire game, that's all they did was give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Yes, they threw the ball out. I'm not going to say they didn't just give it to Marshawn Lynch, but that was tailor made.
Of course it was.
At that point. To give it to Marshawn Lynch because of how great he was playing in that game. And then you decide to surely he must have nightmares thinking about throwing that ball.
He has to. And that's what I mean. It's the play call as well. And it was such a quick, such a quick sort of play action play call as well. You know, a fake to Marshawn Lynch and then a pass and then intercepted right on the goal line. So
yeah,
it's unbelievable, and at least I would have thought Pete Carroll would probably have some nightmares about that because they should have two Super Bowls and we should be praising them for being one of the better teams in the last 10 years, besides the Patriots, to have two Super Bowls and it's just not there.
That's always my thing with if Russell Wilson's getting, you know, he's a great player. I'm not saying he's not a great player, but is he getting unnecessary praise because, you know, he really hasn't have all those quarterback have all those Super Bowls like you said.
No, and look, that man, they're hard to win.
Oh, they're not. Of course they are. I'm not.
They're hard to win.
Very hard to win.
Look, this game had the lowest scoring half of the year. Oh my God. 3-0.
Yeah.
This game just.
It was a stink fest.
It promised so much and delivered so little.
It was flat. I didn't want to spend. We spent way too much on this game for the fact that we were just talking about how the two tail ends of this team, how good Green Bay are, and then how terrible and stinky Seattle Seahawks are. But yeah, it was a flat game up until that fourth quarter, and that was just
Seattle's
was garbage.
Seattle's first four possessions, four punts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just getting nothing going offensively. Shut out for the first time in 10 years. DK Metcalf looks like he's a rather emotional type player. He was getting in people's faces inside the last, 90 seconds of the game, grabbing people by the, grabbing defensive players by the face mask, shaking them around, acting like a bit of a tool, gets ejected, and then he tries to come back into the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, No, 14, number 14. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we disqualified you. I'm pretty sure you're gone. And that takes a referee with gigantic balls to go up to him and go, look, excuse me, Mr. Metcalf, big
just
gigantic
knock
human.
Knock
yeah, just knock on his shoulder pads a little bit. Just
imagine if you see that. Jesus Christ. I'd run.
Excuse me. I think I threw you out of the game. I had to, but I don't think you're allowed to come back on to the field. Just be really nice if you would just leave the field without incident, please. Thank you. Need those microphones turned up while he was trying to tell him, like, you know, can you please get the hell off the field because I threw your ass out.
Oh, imagine that.
That would be how, like, you know, referee Earl Hebner would do it.
Chiefs, masterclass, Mahomes, through 50, 400 yards, 5 TDs, no interceptions, no sacks. It was just, you know, it was that, you know, you said Heineke masterclass, but this was a legit Mahomes masterclass.
I think he's got this is his second or third 400 plus yard, five touchdown game. He's already tied the record for the those games in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
He's 26.
Yep. Yeah.
You can't be stunned. You can't be stunned at what he does, but look, this game.
This is the game now that they needed a demolishing game like this to say, you know, or not all you pricks, but basically, you know, you all thought we were going away or we weren't going to do anything. They could now run with this game, this massive win, and just run the AFC. They really could run the AFC, which is scary for the Bills because, like you said, with the way the Bills are playing, they really. You know, well, no bigger test. I'm so scared of this game. Like they got Cowboys coming
next week.
I know. Oh my God. I just, you know, that's going to be a massive game, isn't it? That's going to be a massive game.
Especially, both teams are in really good form.
Both have great offenses. You know, Cowboys' defense is phenomenal at the moment.
No, that's right. And Kansas City over the last 3 weeks as well is only allowing like 12 points per game. So their defense has really started to shore up.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing and a good sort of sign to come in against, you know, an explosive offense like the Cowboys. Kelce had a monster game in this. He had seven catches for 89 yards in the first half.
Yeah.
But then they went away from him for a while. Like he only had like one more catch after that, and it was like a 30-yard
one.
Yeah, it was like a 30-yard catch in the second half. That was it. DeSean Jackson got his first catch as a Las Vegas Raider, and no surprises for telling that it was, you know, 40 yards down the field. Still a speedster.
Oh my God.
As he sort of cuts back a little bit, you know, steps back, he runs into a Kansas City defender. He punches the ball out. he loses it, and it just goes not so much downhill from there. But that was really deflating for the Raiders for that to happen, because they were well and truly on the march. You know, in that it just Derek Carr look as lit up the first half of the season, has sort of regressed a little bit.
Yeah, but I think that's just because Darren Waller's out too. He's regressed because Darren Waller's hasn't been there for a little bit, and that's why, like, I think they are where they are personally. They're still.
I mean, they haven't gone to him like they should.
Well, but he hasn't been there. He was there in this game, and they could have went to him more, but he sort of sporadically hasn't been there. He's been injured a little bit.
Yeah.
You're right. It's probably because they haven't gone to him that much. They've completely just abandoned the run game. You know,
run game. Unreal. You know, they got Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs there, and they cannot get a scheme together to try and get those guys into the game. It's really, and that's, you know, well, obviously they've had. You know, the Gruden incident, is this going to be the type of game that could totally derail the season? Yeah, they've had some really bad off-season, or not off-season, but off-the-field incidents this year, and it's either going to galvanize them, or it could just totally derail what's happening. They got torched. They're absolutely torched in this game.
Yeah, and then that's it. They got absolutely smoked in this game. The last game was the 49ers, you know, the 50-minute trip out of the bay to their home game. It's probably why the Rams lost 31-10. We talked about this last week. Yeah.
Well, look, the Rams would have had to travel just as much as what San Francisco did.
Probably.
Come up from LA.
Yeah, they probably caught a plane there. just to come from LA. It was. Yeah, like, they started on fire. God damn, they started on fire. Yeah, they got that two quick touchdowns in that first quarter. They were, you know, God damn, like, okay, Debo, yeah, just got in a 97, but Debo, they started to give Debo a couple of rushing attempts.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah, a couple of runs up the middle, and he made 10, 12 yards.
Yeah, he did.
That's the thing. That's how. And that's why a lot of people sort of go out there and say that Kyle Shanahan is an offensive genius, because he can dial up plays like that, and you're just like, what the hell was he doing?
Well,
using his wide out as a running back, like, you know, especially for the potential to get blasted as you run up the middle, but the gap just opened right up straight through the guts, and it was like an easy 12 yards, and you're like, oh, okay, no worries. Look. This is the second week in a row that the Rams have been bullied, and bullied fairly badly, especially defensively.
Well, which is interesting, because, you know, they both sides of the ball, I think they've got it. They've got a complete team, haven't they? I mean, they do.
Like, Darrell Henderson went off for a little bit with concussion. He didn't really look right when he came back. Wasn't really involved in this game a whole lot. It was a lot of Matt Stafford. It started from the get go, like Stafford's very first pass. OBJ, what was it, 6 yards? 6 yards? No, actually, it might have been more than that. It might have been 12 yards, because I think OBJ only had like 18 Dude. Yards for this game. So,
well, he doubled the week before at Cleveland. So, you know,
no,
he's on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he had a 12 yard and a 6 yard reception. It broke down. It broke down for Stafford early as he scrambled out of the pocket a little bit. This is on the first series of the game, and he could see that OBJ he was free downfield, and Stafford. But he stopped. They showed the wide angle of it. OBJ just stops, and then all of a sudden he's realized, oh crap. Stafford's looking in this direction, and now the ball's coming to me. And then he had like 20 yards to just keep on that route before he actually got to the end zone.
Yeah.
But he stopped. Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, it was just bad communication. He's been there for a couple of days. And then the interception looks so bad, but you're like, well, that's just poor communication.
That's
it looked terrible, because OBJ was nowhere near the ball. And then you could see him sort of, you know, being extremely animated on the bench.
Oh, but didn't he didn't he smoke the guy when he caught the ball? Like he was still there. He just like just put that brutal hit on him. Just boom, smashed him. It was awesome.
And then the other interception that Stafford throws is the Higbee catch drop, just lands straight into the arms of a San Francisco defender, and it goes for a pick six. Like they're two really, I don't think those pass, you know, those interceptions are really on Matt Stafford, but they just pave the way for San Francisco to get advantage in this game, and they didn't want to give it back.
I don't know. I think, look, well, it doesn't matter. They've got this year and next year, and that's it. They have to do something, LA, because if they don't win, that they are completely toast.
Well, they've got the bye now, and McVay, once again, I'm watching way too many post game press conferences. McVay sort of come out in the post game and basically said, you know, I choose to believe that this, you know, the last 2 weeks is not a team on who we are. And they've got the bye week now to try and correct that. And they're going to have to take some steps up to, that's, I mean, this is the second week in a row that they've been bullied by a good defense.
Well, they are a good defense. That's the thing. There's a lot of reasons that 49ers are 4-5, but it's not for lack of their defense at least trying. It's the shape shifting of the
they've had a plethora of running backs hurt this year as well. San Francisco offensively, they are a little challenged when they don't have that run game because then that doesn't sort of open up that play action pass for Jimmy G, which he's a master at. If he's a standard pocket passer, he's not as good as what he is if it, yeah, once he's got those, once you get those play fakes to the running back, and then you sort of, it's, I mean, it just opens everything up. They're starting to get a little bit healthier at receiver now too. George Kittle's had a couple of games back now. Ayuk's back. Debo just being Debo.
But that's the thing there.
They can get some momentum, I think, San Francisco, and whether or not they can challenge the top two teams in this comp, in this division. But as the weeks go on, they are starting to look a little bit better.
But that's the thing, that like the reason you're saying about they challenge a bit in the rush game because of obviously the injuries. But their entire offense is built around like it's a running scheme. It's a heavy
run. It has been since Jimmy G got there.
So, but that's Shanahan. He likes that scheme. That's right. So.
But exactly. And he's got the right quarterback there to do it. It come up on this. I think it might have been last week. It come up on the screen. San Francisco, they're 25-12 with Jimmy G.
Yeah. Yeah. See,
it's 13 games above 500. You know, they just win with him there.
But he's clearly not their future. He's gonna be a nice little pickup somewhere, a nice little pickup with a free agency somewhere.
I mean, possibly. Like, yeah, Trey Lance hasn't really. I don't think he's really lit the world on fire with how they've sort of used him and how he's been a little bit inaccurate. So, you know, he had that one start and he looked pretty poor. The few times that he's come off the bench, he hasn't looked brilliant. But when you're coming in there for a few plays here and there, it's hard to get into the game flow and sort of do what's necessary. But he's so hard to game plan for that. Yeah. Once he starts to get more starts under his belt, I think he will do a lot better.
Oh my god. We'll move on to our studs and duds of the week. Stud of the week for me, what I mentioned at the second last game, like you can't really go past Mahomes. Well, probably the whole Kansas City Chiefs in general, but Mahomes was just, you know.
I guess
Mahomes.
An announcement game to sort of say, hey, look, this is what we can produce.
Yeah,
this is what we can produce.
You know, it's funny. Straight after this game, I think I took a picture. I did take a picture straight after this game. I went to see where not so much well, just sort of where the Kansas City Chiefs were sitting in terms of like Super Bowl. And they were like $30 or $40, and now they've moved all the way back down to $11.
Everybody's trying to get them at that inflated price and just pounding it.
Plus this one big win. They probably just think now the betting agency probably think they're back. I mean, even Mahomes
would depend on how much money's going on it too. If you're starting to get a few large bets, you know, especially if they're paying $34, like that's, you know, that'll hurt. It'll be a little bit of both.
It'll be like that, but they'll also drop it because if they are on a streak, it's like. Yeah, so yeah, you're right. It's a little bit of both, but you know, even him in the MVP, he's now back in the top sort of seven at $15, which is absolutely ridiculous. The MVP, I mean, I know hour and a half. We got some time to talk about it after the studs and duds, possibly. But you finish your stud. But the MVP, yeah, I don't know the MVP. I'd want to see where your head's at. But go ahead with your stud.
It would be, I'd have to sort of think about it. So the brain's going to have to work extra hard to do two things at once.
Maybe go next week. Go ahead.
Look, I thought the Dallas Cowboys, especially after railroaded by the Denver Broncos the week before, who looked absolutely awful this week. How they sprung that on the Cowboys last week, and then for to come out and just embarrass, demoralize, destroy Atlanta. In one of their earlier games on the Sunday afternoon in Dallas, I thought was brewing. It was just such a massive turnaround because they looked so poor the week before, and they come out and do this to Atlanta, like I said, who looked semi competent against New Orleans the week before, and they did, that was just that was demoralizing.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, I can't get so hyped about Dallas during the playoffs, and then we'll sort of see. I mean, they've got the division. It depends where they sit in terms of where they're going to finish. Out of all the teams, they would benefit from that first week off. The top two, goddamn, they would benefit from that.
Big time. Yeah, if they can. Well, that'll be the thing. It'll be them trying to finish top of the NFC to try and get the first week bye, because there's only one bye now.
Yeah, good point. Oh yeah.
So that is an absolute premium to try and get top of the conference to get that week off.
Your dud of the week?
The egg laid by Seattle.
it was a feature game, like I said, it promised so much
and delivered so little. It was the feature game of the week, it was one of the feature CBS games, it was a prime time one for sure. But just the spectacle was promised, and it flopped on its face. Because even Aaron Rodgers wasn't that great.
No, Aaron Rodgers was competent, but
what you've got to do. But Seattle looked lost. Russ was rusty. I could only assume he'll do a little bit better next week once he sort of get. Don't know where I read this or something like that. Apparently, he was like rehabbing his finger like 18 hours a day. Like, don't put BS stories out like that. So you're telling me he's only getting 6 hours sleep a night for the last 6 weeks? Like, give me a break. What is that?
You can't tell me you can't rehab a finger while you're asleep. You could probably put something around it. That's technically rehabbing, isn't it? Sure.
What are they going to do? Put like a little TENS machine in his finger so it's twitching or something while he's freaking sleeping? Like, nobody's believing. Are you believing that? Like, are you 18 hours a day is rehabbing his finger? Ain't nobody believing that.
Of course, I don't believe that. It was a dud effort from the Seattle, but I wanted to give a dud effort for the Rams, because they should have purely won this game for a lot of reasons. But the stat that's out for me for 49ers winning this game is this is the first home game they've won in more than a whole year.
More 400 year. Plus days, and yes. you know who they beat, don't you?
Yes, I do know who they beat.
The LA Rams.
Yes, I do.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like that, they, like, for some reason, 49ers can't seem to win at home, probably because it's a road trip as well.
Yeah, it's a road trip. But the funny thing was too, like, you know, in that game, like, San Francisco are one of the league's worst third down completion teams. They're like 30th in the league, like 33%. Yeah, they were awesome. They were awesome on third down in this game.
I just completely blew that stat
way out of the water.
My takeaway is they're running out of time to, I don't know, establish who they are. Like, they've got Robert Woods is down for the year. You know, I guess Cooper Kupp's always been there. Don't get me wrong, but
that's he's clearly the go-to guy there for the Rams. It's whether or not there's going to be undue pressure on McVay and on Stafford to try and get Odell Beckham Jr. into the game, much like what Cleveland did. I think that if OBJ can just put his ego in his pocket for 5 seconds, and he's clearly ring chasing the reason why he's gone there. So he needs to be able to come into line and do what's best to make this team win. Not, hey, look at me, I'm OBJ, I made that one-handed catch like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I'm still living off that. You've got to get past yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly, but I don't know. I think his ego's too. Well, I don't know. It was a weird pickup. It was just a weird pickup. And I was saying Seattle, but like that would have even made probably been worse by the looks of it. Might have been more of a train wreck for Seattle.
They're trending to be a train wreck at the moment.
Well, they probably are. Anything else you wanted to finish on? Yeah, I'll give you a week on the MVP. I'll give you a week to think about that.
The wildest thing from this week was watching that Sunday night game that was on, the feature Sunday night game on NBC. How the turf was laid out at Allegiant Stadium. Did you see that shit?
No, I didn't.
So the day before they had a college game there, so it was played on AstroTurf. So after that game was finished, they knew they had the Sunday night feature game there, so they basically stripped all the AstroTurf off and brought in on a gigantic cake tin like they do with cricket pitches nowadays, except they did it with a whole frickin' field and just brought the turf in on like a big hovercraft-looking thing. And just brought it in and then just dropped it over the top of everything. It was unbelievable to see like the fast motion pictures of them doing that, stripping the field of the AstroTurf and putting on a gigantic cake tin of grass.
That would have been awesome.
And sitting it over the top. That was insane.
Oh, wow.
And all I could think of is like what they do with cricket pitches nowadays. Yeah. So they just bring them in a big cake tin and drop them in the middle of the field. And then they're just the batter's paradise.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course it's the batter's paradise. Yeah, no, I didn't see that, but that would have been cool to see. That would have been really cool to see.
It was nuts, man. To watch them, they do those fast motion camera shots where they have just one camera sitting up on top of it and just watching everyone go.
Yeah, look, I think this coming week, week 11, just to finish on, I think it'll be – we're technically now just over the halfway point. This is where, and there's only a couple more teams, which I can't believe I'm saying this, but are going to have still got to have buys. A couple more teams.
There's still a few. I think the buys go up to like week 13, so there's still a couple more.
Pats have a week 14 buy. What the hell?
Man.
So yeah, you're right. There's still a few more, but
there's a few teams that are Super Bowl contenders that have got extremely easy schedules as well.
Yeah.
So I can't remember which game I was actually watching. It was one of the TV games. So they said Tennessee has got the easiest schedule going into the back end of the season.
Yeah.
Tampa has got the fourth easiest schedule, and Arizona has got the fifth easiest schedule. So watch out for those three teams. There's no excuses for difficult competition.
But see, the Titans. That's why I don't know about the Titans
and because, the Titans as well because that's me. They'd have divisional games.
But they also had, yeah. But they also they beat the Chiefs and they beat the Bills too. So they, they're not, and they don't.
They lost to the Jets.
they don't have Derrick Henry, so it's an interesting. Yeah, they did lose to the Jets. Yeah, it's just an interesting. It's well, I mean, this whole season. That's what I mean. Like, if you're a better, like, you know, forget about betting on spreads or anything, because you just can't do it. It's near impossible.
You can't even pick a winner straight up. Who the hell's betting on spreads?
Nah, good point. Well, that'll do it. Who's betting on spreads? That'll do it for this week. Don't forget, as always, our socials, Twitter, at Final Play Pod, and also Facebook Final Play Podcast.
Did you also see in that Vegas Kansas City game that one of the Vegas offensive linemen, as he was getting down into his stance, picked up a fork out of the ground? A fork!
The hell? No, I didn't see that. I must have missed that. I was probably getting ready. Really?
Yeah, he stands up and they had to stop the game, and he's holding his hands. It's like, what the hell is this? was somebody eating their lunch before they brought it out there on the big cake tin? Like, what the hell is that?
That's
funny, but that's freaking dangerous, man.
Oh, of course it's dangerous. If you just found it and someone's landed on it, like,
that's
yeah.
Me, but yeah, look at what running backs do when they get squashed under four and five defensive linemen. Oh. What happens if he lands on that?
Get it in an eye or anything. You never
get
know.
Get it in the eye. What happens if it goes into your nuts?
Oh, yeah. Oh, gee. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought. I wasn't thinking about the face. I was thinking about, yeah, that's not good.
Well, they wear cups. That's why I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking
still.
But Jesus Christ. No, yeah, maybe someone was, I don't know, having a bit of a pork sandwich. Pork.
Oh, a bit of roast pork sandwich before you got out there.
Roast pork on your fork? I don't know. That's how I'm signing off. I'm just signing off as Jason Fork and your Pork Smith.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with a bit of pork on the fork. But anyway,
that's amazing.
Look, yeah, I thought that was extremely bizarre. Yeah, I guess we'll sign off as Miles Cake Tin Plum.
Cake Tin, I knew that was coming. You were gonna say Cake Tin.
Look, yeah, check us out on Spotify and SoundCloud as well. You can get all of our stuff on there. Facebook, gimco.com.au. Check us out there. We're in the community tab on the homepage there, so you can find all our podcasts on there. If you want to get into cards, I think there's still a couple of spots left in an Origins, this year's Origins case. So I think it's like $200 and you get a box. I think there's two boxes left. So have a look at that. Origins is a nice sort of mid-range product. I cannot pump out $200 right now. Otherwise, I would be totally in on that. Unless I have some sort of extremely large win on this week's NFL, which seems extremely unlikely.
Oh, that seems very unlikely. I don't think you got any chance on that bad boy.
Oh,
mate.
I've got a really, really poor same game multi in the Bears game this weekend, which is just it's all to do with Justin Fields and Montgomery. So it's fraught with danger, but yeah, you never know.
I'm gonna have to have a look now. All right, well, have a good week, everyone. Now I'm looking.
you're gonna have a look now. We'll discuss that once the record stops. But it's fat odds, but I don't know why I don't want to be betting on Chicago. But anyway, who had the bye this week? Thank God.
Well, they got to go on against Baltimore. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. See ya.